Blog Talk Radio.
Benjamin Brothers Realty presents The Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in providing support services for new businesses. Call 248-516-8300. Benjamin Brothers Realty can help you buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing. Call them at 331-248-7120 to find them, fix them, and flip them. And now, author, recording artist, community worker, and Cass Tech graduate, Michael Van Tol. Good morning, everybody. This is the Michael Van Tol Show. Thanks for joining us this morning. I know we're still in the middle of these vacations, and we've got some of the team's been out of town, including myself, over the past few weeks. But we are trying to get it all in before winter. The Sunday morning team is here. Let me just give you a little outline of what's going to appear on today's special. It's a two-hour special. Course, from 9 to 9:30, it's the Michael Van Tol Show. Community highlights with Missionary Humphrey at 9:30 to 10 o'clock. And then at 10 o'clock to 11, an extended version, because we've got an interview with Sharia Perry, a community organizer. She's got an event coming up on the 24th. We're going to be talking also with author Carmen Watson, wrote a book about finances for children called Counting My Pennies. We're going to be talking with her. And then we've got an interview with Benjamin Brothers CEO Keith Hudson, so it's a lot to go. But before anything else, let's go to the Sunday morning team. Let's go down the list. Henrietta Ivey, community activist, a political analyst on the show, and a home care advocate. Good morning, Henrietta.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to the amazing Sunday morning team. And good morning to all the beautiful people in the city of Detroit.
Yes. Kimberly Batchelor Davis, our lifestyle editor, author, speaker, podcaster. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to our amazing Sunday morning team. Shout out to Missionary Hattie Humphrey, and good morning, Detroit.
And that young preacher. Chaplain Stephen Cathy from the International Police and Fire Chaplains Association. Good morning, Chaplain Cathy.
Good morning to you, Sunday morning team. Shout out to the missionary. Hello, Detroit. And it's good to be back online.
Yes, we're glad to have you on the show this morning. And great to be the whole team. Great to be here. And then, of course, Evangelist Christy Lasta Andrews is away ministering this morning out of town, and we're looking forward to hearing a report back from her when she comes back. If your company would like to join the list of companies supporting Community Highlights with Missionary Humphrey, the Michael Van Tol Show, call this one number, 248-516-8300, to join the program. All right, when we come back, we've got news and weather, the Sunday morning team. And let me just say one thing about it's almost 9/11 this morning. It's 9:03, but 9/11, it's more than just a time on the clock. I can't believe this has been more than 20 years ago that those jets plowed into the towers. It was an unbelievable moment in history. We're going to talk about that this morning, too, 9/11 and the impact it's had on this country. It's changed so much in this country, in the world. We'll be right back after this message.
Benjamin Brothers Realty.
We find them and fix them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them.
We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them and flip them.
Listen, we find them and fix them and flip them. We fix them and then we equip them. Got them dripping with style. Got them like wow. Now everyone wants to know how. If you want to do it yourself, you can generate generational wealth.
It's so comprehensive and it's not expensive, essential for financial help. You'll appreciate how we articulate when we communicate and we educate and we motivate and we innovate. It's
Benjamin Brothers Real Estate.
If you want to buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing, please call 331-248-7120 or email us at bbrosrealty@gmail.com. That's bbrosrealty@gmail.com.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can out-service me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990.
And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Call 331-248-7120.
All right, we are back in the news this morning. New Mexico judge on Tuesday removed January 6th rioter and Cowboys for Trump founder Coy Griffin from his elected position as a county commissioner for his role in the Capitol attack. The ruling was a result of a lawsuit seeking Griffin's removal, which alleged that he violated a clause in the 14th Amendment of the Constitution by participating in an insurrection against the U.S. government. He had been convicted of trespassing earlier this year. This historic ruling represents the first time an elected official has been removed from office for their participation or support of the U.S. Capitol riot. It also marks the first time a judge has formally ruled that the events of January 6, 2021 were an insurrection. Good riddance. I'm glad that the judge removed him from office. That's the price you pay. Unfortunately, Queen Elizabeth, after 70 years on the throne, has died. Her funeral is Monday in London. But the death of Queen Elizabeth II has prompted an outpouring of reflection and reaction online. Not all of it was grief. Some young Africans and many others instead are sharing images and stories of their own elders who endured a brutal period of British colonial history during the Queen's long reign. "I cannot mourn," wrote one on Twitter, posting an image of what she said was her grandmother's movement pass, a colonial document which prevented free travel for Kenyans under the British rule in the East African country. There is a list of countries across the old British Empire that suffered under Great Britain's rule. Kenya was one, and there were a number of other African countries, Nigeria, South Africa, that suffered under the rule of the Queen and the British Empire. So not everyone is crying over her death. Three white employees at a Fifth Third Bank in Michigan would not process and initially would not return what they thought was a fraudulent check from Lizzie Pugh in what her attorney refers to as banking while black, which we've heard of before here in Michigan, in Detroit area. A 71-year-old black retiree has filed a federal discrimination lawsuit alleging three white bank employees in Michigan refused to return what they believe was a fraudulent five-figure lottery check she tried to process. According to the Detroit Free Press, Lizzie Pugh won an unspecified jackpot amount on a slot machine. Well, it was $12,000 on a slot machine during a church outing at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant, Michigan on April 9th. She paid the jackpot taxes and left with a prize money check. 2 days later, she recalled she walked into a Fifth Third Bank in Livonia which is 20 miles from Detroit, to open a savings account and deposit the check, only to be told that it was fraudulent. I couldn't believe they did that to me, Pew said in an interview with the Detroit Free Press. I was devastated. I kept asking, how do you know the check is not real? She was originally from Alabama, moved here in 1971 when she was 20, and the check even said her name, the address was the same as her driver's license, and in the memo line it said Soaring Eagle Casino
Jackpot.
Slot Jackpot. And, you know, they need to do something about – all I'm going to say is I worked for a bank, for two banks for 32 years, and I would sue too. I would sue. You're not going to treat me like a criminal. How many times do we have to go into a bank with a large check for them to think that we stole it or it's fraudulent? Let me tell you, I really feel for her. You know, what's supposed to be one of the best days for her turns into one of the worst days. How can they tell you that, you know, why don't go through all your stuff first? And then if you can't find anything, my thing is give them the check back and let them go if you can't find anything wrong. And if your bank does not want to do it, because
just don't
other
do
than
it.
That, don't treat them like a criminal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, let me go.
You know, I just want to speak a little bit on that, Michael, because when I saw that story, I was like you, how many times do we have to walk into a bank with a large check and then be scrutinized for it? Like, we don't, like, you know, why would you not cash your check? Or, like you said, if you felt like something was wrong, but the thing of it is, you didn't even go through all the protocols to scan the check to make sure the check would have cleared, because they have certain, you know, you work in the bank. And you know that they, when they have
right.
to come in like that, you can scan them. It's some type of system you use to verify the check. If you if you didn't use that system, you just going by, oh, you know, you just don't
your
want
feelings.
To do it. Or if your system, if you know, did come back and said, then you just handed her check back and say, I'm sorry, Ms. Pugh, we can't cash your check.
Right. You know what I would do? You know what I did when I was a manager? I would actually, if I was that nervous about something, I would call the company, the people that issued the
check.
Exactly. That's what you got.
I would call
them
and say, hey, this is Mike from you know, First Bank and Trust. I have a client here that won a $12,000 check from you. This is her name and everything. And here's the check number. I have her driver's license. Did you issue this check yesterday? That's it. That's how you do it.
That's
you know.
It.
And then and then if you still are not sure, and nothing is wrong, and you still worry, then open the check and delay the money for a day or so until you can find out. That's all. You can still open it. And you know, there's a lot of things that can be done besides treating a person like a criminal.
Absolutely.
Yes.
They definitely treat her like a criminal. And I feel like, and I've had that happen to me a couple of times in my own personal life where I would, my work checks were in large amounts. Like bonuses would be added on top of my, you know, on top of the salary. And so I walk into a check cashing place to just cash it. And they scrutinized me. Where do you work? What do you do? This is what they pay y'all. I mean, I was sitting up there like, are you kidding me?
My thing is, I don't like the fact that they think
I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow.
That they think it's fraudulent just because it's maybe a large amount or they're you know, don't treat you like, you know, crap. Anyway, let me move on because Missionary is coming up in 15 minutes. The Michigan-based cereal company Kellogg's has announced the release of its new Kellogg's Instables. These cereal cups are ready for your breakfast and only require you to add water. So add water only. That's what, according to Kellogg, the water will activate the powdered milk in the cup along with the cereal, making your cereal bowl, making it taste like a traditional breakfast. I bet you this is going to be a huge hit. This is going to work. Because how many times have you had to make sure and have milk available around? And just can you imagine? Oh, they've got this. They got this sewed up now.
Yeah,
you
they
just
got they
pour
nailed
some very
one.
Cold.
Whoever came up with
some
that
cold
idea got
water.
Paid.
Yes, pour some cold water into that package. You're gonna have a great cold. I love cold milk cereal. I love it.
Yes,
They're going to come with Frosted Flakes, Fruit Loops, Apple Jacks, and Raisin Bran Crunch to start. So they said that in recent years there's been a big trend towards portability for foods. Snacks and stuff right now are going through the roof. I mean, snack foods are going through the roof right now. Yes. One more story here. An Atlanta woman has gone viral, over 6.6 million views after exposing Popeye's employees for not allowing her to purchase food for a homeless man. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I could not believe. She was trying to purchase food for a man experiencing homelessness named Jazz. A student at a Georgia State University was picking up an order for DoorDash last month when she saw a man who seemed hungry. Ortega decided to order Jazz chicken after being told that her order was not ready for pickup. While waiting, Ortega decided to go back outside and ask him if he wanted anything to eat. But before asking Jazz for his order, she told the Popeyes worker what her intended plan was. The employees at the store would not allow the transaction. No, ma'am, you can't do that, one employee told Ortega. Why? He's asking for food. Ma'am, you can't do that. I could care less. I could care less about you recording me, baby. I guess you're talking about her putting it on social media. And another member replied before shutting the drive-thru. You know, people don't know. Let me...
They don't understand the power of social media.
I'm trying to live a changed life. I almost shared my real true thoughts on this. This is so cold-hearted and insulting, and these people don't understand what life is all about. That's another thing too. Some of the younger people, they've got to learn about life and go through some experiences. Mm-hmm. Listen to your parents. Listen to people that are older than you. People that are more experienced before you start making these type of decisions. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Let me just do the weather real quick because sometimes the weather gets pushed off. Kimberly, go right ahead.
So good morning, everyone. It's currently cloudy, and it's 71 degrees, but today the high will only get to 77. Guys, the temperature is going back the other way.
Mm-hmm.
We're expecting scattered thunderstorms today. So a high of 74, a high of 77, and a low of 64. Tomorrow, scattered showers will continue with a high of 72, a low of 56. On Tuesday, we'll have scattered showers continuing with a high of 75 and a low of 58. On Wednesday, the sun will break through a little bit. It'll be partly cloudy with a high of 80 and a low of 58. On Thursday, it'll be partly cloudy with a high of 75 and a low of 58. On Friday, partly cloudy again with a high of 79 and a low of 61. And on Saturday, it will remain partly cloudy with the highest temperature for the week at a high of 84 and a low of 64. So for the next couple of days, make sure you have your umbrella. And then after Wednesday, we should be good with partly cloudy skies and the temperature should rise a little bit. And that's
great. It was warm yesterday. Warmer than I had thought. I mean, it's the humidity. Yeah. Just want to give you an update. We've got some really interesting guests coming on the show soon that I've already talked to. Henrietta, thanks yesterday for connecting us with to get Fred Durhall on. We're going to have him on sometime in the next couple of months. Award-winning local R&B artist Carl Reed. He's going to be on the program. And we also have Carmano's Cancer called me this weekend wanting to know if they can appear on the show also. So we've got some – and then today at 10 o'clock, we've got Sharia Perry, who's got an event coming up in Warren. to benefit the homeless. I'm so glad to see we can counter today's news with that stupid story about the Popeyes employees not wanting the lady. I'm partnering with Sharia Perry to do an event on the 24th in Warren for the homeless. And then my good friend and my podcast host from the Come Up, Carmen Watson, she just wrote a book called Counting My Pennies. We're going to be interviewing her this morning at 10 o'clock, too. We also have an interview with Keith Hudson, the owner of Benjamin Brothers Realty. We're going to run that interview, too. So we got a lot coming on starting today. And then, of course, this portion of the program is brought to you by Benjamin Brothers Realty. They can show you how to find them, fix them, and flip them. It's a good way to make money. They're going to learn how to do real estate investing so that you can do it for yourself and create generational wealth. It's comprehensive, not expensive. You can tell somebody at Benjamin Brothers is a rapper because all this stuff rhymes. Benjamin Brothers Realty. And I love that little commercial. That really pumps me up, that find them, fix them, flip them. Here's the number, 331-248-7120, if you want to go ahead and do that to earn some income. You know, a lot of people try to do that before. I've talked to so many people that try to do it, and they don't realize you got to know a lot of stuff to do that fix them and flip them stuff. You have to have, first of all, you have to have capital and cash on hand to buy the properties. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, after you buy that property, you have to have the capital and the resources and the people to fix the stuff, to fix those places up so they could be ready to sell. And you don't want to just fix them up and just, you want to make sure that they are better than other places so that you can sell them quicker and easier and make more money. Okay. But let the experts tell you at Benjamin Brothers, 331-248-7120. All right, let's go down across before in the next 8 minutes. We'll try to. If not, we'll have to extend it through Missionary Show, the Sunday morning team. Let's start off with Henrietta. Henrietta, we had a great time over at the Fun City, Not Gun City event yesterday that Chaplain Kathy pressured me. to go to yesterday. Oh, it's funny how he's quiet now. You know, Chaplain Kathy, he's quiet now. But Henrietta and I went over to the Fun City, Not Gun City event, and Mrs. Van Tool came with me.
Yes.
So we had a great time. Where's Chaplain Kathy? Because we looked around and we could not find him. And he sure is. I wonder if his line is. I unmuted his line, so I don't know. He sure ain't saying nothing. Chaplain Kathy, are you there?
Come on down, Chaplain Kathy. You're up next.
Come on down.
I have never seen him speechless before.
Never.
Somebody needs to give him some help up in here.
He must be tired. The monster always has the energy. Still have the energy, to do what you do. What's going on this morning? What's going on, Chaplain?
Kimberly, somebody needs to give him some help up in here today, right?
Come on, Chaplain. Tell us what the blessings were yesterday. Come on, tell us.
Well, I am so excited about the third annual. You okay, Mike? Okay, Mike, I'm going to get you back. I'm just going to get you back, I'm on the week. You call Reverend Smith, put him on the phone. He going to get at you.
No, he's listening.
You cut me just a little slack. But I thank God for the third annual Fun City, Not Gun City. And if it's one thing that I am more so impressed about, outside of Pastor Joyce's ability to get that done, even in her condition and at her age. I think
she got a lot of energy.
Thank God for the Sunday morning team, those that were able to get out there, Mike, yourself, as well as your wife. Like you told me, Henry, I believe you said, but I thank God for all of you guys coming out. I've been exuberantly busy, more busy than so. Didn't pass, but I thank God that I'm still in the land of the living.
Yeah.
I really, really did miss you guys those couple weeks or so that I wasn't on air. I really did miss you. But sometimes we have to do what we have to do. I just hope that I could be a little more informative next time. God bless you all. Oh, shout out to the missionary.
Yes, and she is raring to go. She's listening right now, and we're going to click her on in just a second. Chaplain, you know, I know how big this event is. Channel 4 ran it, the story.
Mm-hmm.
My councilman, Fred Durhall, was there. He's the councilman from my district, for where I live, and we had a chance to talk and took pictures. And Henrietta was out there doing her politicking, and she was able to connect with him and get him secured and down for an interview on the show, so he'll be coming on with us soon. I tell you, Henrietta, I'll just tell you, she's out there, because, you know, I see her out there when I'm out and about, and this is not somebody who sits on the phone. That's why I don't open up my phone lines every day for people to be calling in, using up my time. They don't do nothing. Henrietta knows. A lot of these people on the radio just do all this big talk and go to listen, watch some of these programs where they just call in and talk, and then when the show is over, they'll call the next show. And when that show is over, and it goes on and on, and they don't do a thing. They're not out here. They're not working with any organizations. They get up there on the show and complain. That's why anybody asks me, how come you don't always open up your phone lines and talk to people? Yeah, because that's all they do. They're not going to eat up my time, you know. And I'm going to talk to people who contribute and just don't respond. Some people just respond to any little thing, and they just go on to complain. Yeah. I want real constructive interviews, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, look, let me get ready for Missionary Humphrey. And then we're going to talk about a few things with Missionary Humphrey on the line when we click in. We're going to talk about 9/11. We're going to talk about the Queen and her impact after 96 years old, 70 years on the throne, and we'll be talking about that. I'm going to open up the phone lines too in the next 30 minutes. Over the next half hour, I'm going to open up the phone lines so we can talk to some of our listeners, and especially those that have are calling in to talk to Missionary too. So we got a lively, it's a 2-hour special today. Of course, from now until 10 o'clock, it's Community Highlights with Missionary Humphrey, and then the Michael Van Tool Show is going to go for another hour from 10 to 11. So we got a lot going on. And we'll be right back with Community Highlights with Detroit's Spiritual Ambassador right after these messages.
Is a member of this real team.
We find them and fix them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them.
We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them and flip them.
Listen, we find them and fix them and flip them. We fix them and then we equip them. Got them dripping with style. Got them like wow. Now everyone wants to know how. If you want to do it yourself, you can generate generational wealth. It's so comprehensive and it's not expensive, essential for financial health. You'll appreciate how we articulate when we communicate and we educate and we motivate and we innovate. It's
Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Benjamin Brothers Real Estate.
If you want to buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing, please call 331-248-7120 or email us at bbrosrealty@gmail.com. That's B-B-R-O-S-R-E-A-L-T-Y osreality@gmail.com.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can outservice me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990.
And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Call 331-248-7120.
Community Highlights, an inspirational community affairs program with Detroit Spiritual Ambassador Missionary Hattie Humphrey. My name is Michael Van Tool. Let me tell you something. Missionary Humphrey is a mentor to pastors here in Metro Detroit and throughout the Midwest, from Arkansas to St. Louis, Missouri. She's a spiritual advisor to elected officials and a resource for candidates running for public office. Her annual birthday banquet has turned into one of the most important political dinners in Metro Detroit. She's an icon to the masses, but to you and me, she's a friend that you can count on in the time of need. She is Detroit Spiritual Ambassador, Missionary Hattie Humphrey. Good morning, Missionary.
Good morning, Macca. Good morning to the radio audience. I just like to say that I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continue to be in my mouth. My soul to make the voice of his Lord, human and all. Almighty God, thank God for this opportunity to be coming your way much more in the good. Good morning, team. I'm so glad to be alive. God bless you.
Amen. What energy. I talked to Missionary earlier this morning, and I called, and it sounded like she was up for hours. But this is a great morning, and Missionary, it's good to hear you, and it's good to hear all this energy this morning. All right, let's go down the list. Henrietta Ivey, our political analyst, home care advocate, and good morning, Henrietta.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Missionary. It has been a minute since I've heard this amazing voice of yours that gives me so much energy every time I hear you on a Sunday morning. I just want to get up and start doing more than what I'm doing. Good morning,
yes.
Sunday morning team, and good morning to the amazing people in the city of Detroit.
Look, if Missionary can get up and do stuff at 94, then we don't have any excuse. I'm embarrassed that I can't keep up with her now. I can't even keep up with her. I'm embarrassed to even admit it. I'm telling you, at 94, you have to run to catch up with her. Yes. All right.
Absolutely.
Kimberly Batchelor Davis, our lifestyle editor, author, speaker, podcaster. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to the amazing Missionary Hattie Humphrey. It's so good to be on the air with you. Good morning to our amazing Sunday morning team, and good morning, Detroit.
Great, great. All right. That young preacher, Chaplain Stephen Cappy from the International Police and Fire Chaplains Association. Good morning, Chaplain. How are you today?
I'm blessed. Good morning to your mind. Good morning once again to the Sunday morning team. Shout out to Detroit. Thank God for keeping the missionary in perfect peace as she continues to do his will. I'm looking forward to hearing her voice today. God bless you all.
Great. Thank you so much. Go ahead, missionary.
Well, this is the best day that I know, and I thank God for the team. that's being sent all over the world, including Arkansas, is listening to you, St. Louis, and all of my friends there. This is the day that the Lord has made, no matter what's going on in the world. God's still in charge. And I thank God for the team today. I'm blessed. I'm getting dressed and ready to go to church. It seems like I've only got one eye. Pray for my eyes.
We will.
But
yeah.
As long as God is in charge of me, I can make it.
Yeah. Amen, Mr.
Amen. And then Evangelist Christy Lasner Andrews is away ministering out of town today, so we're going to be looking forward to her to hear a report when she comes back. Before we open up phone lines, missionary, there's a couple of things I want to do. Number one is talk about Franklin Wright Settlements. I guess we need to save the date, Kimberly, December 9th, right,
yes.
For the Spirit
yes,
of Giving.
Yes, we do. It's fast approaching. Yes, it's fast
yes.
approaching. It's coming up.
At
we'll be at MGM.
Black
mm-hmm.
Tie Affair. So let's hope, see if we can get as many of the Sunday morning team out as possible. Save that date, Black Tie Affair. The biggest fundraiser for Franklin Wright on December 9th. Here's the number for Franklin Wright, too, if you would like to make a donation or call for programs. That's 313-579-1000, 313-579-1000, because this money that they raise on December 9th will help Franklin Wright help us to provide services for low- and moderate-income families across Metro Detroit. And, of course, our attorney for Community Highlights is Attorney Cliff Pascoe from Pascoe, Tashman & Walker, which is right down the street, actually two buildings away from us here in Southfield in our studio. Cliff Pascoe has been a friend of the program for many, many years, decades, really. And they're experts in professional negligence, malpractice, personal injury, probate and estate planning, labor and employment law, personal matters, family law, business litigation, civil rights, and missionary. You know, I've called him for things. You've called him for things. We can tell you, when we call Attorney Cliff Pascoe for something, he makes it happen. He makes the difference. Missionary, once I remember I called him because somebody was trying to sue me for something or blame me for something. And when all he did was send a letter on Pascoe, Tashman & Walker letterhead saying that Michael Vansoul has returned our law firm in this matter. And guess what? It went away. I ain't heard from him since. All they got was the letter, and everything shut down. Matter of fact, the company went out of business after that. So when we call Attorney Cliff Pascoe, things happen. He makes a difference. And missionary, you've been friends with him for years. A long time. All right. Today we are commemorating 9/11, and this is the day when those jets slammed into the World Trade Center in New York, and there was another one that one went into the Capitol, and two went into the towers, of course, and then the one went into they fought back. And one crashed into the ground in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. They said they think that one was supposed to go into the U.S. Capitol. So there was four men that ran the door to attack those hijackers in 2001 and forced that plane to crash. But you know what? They saved a lot of lives, because if that would have went into the U.S. Capitol, I tell you, that was a Monday mm-hmm. morning, too. Wasn't it? I think it was a Monday morning. Well, anyway, it was a work day morning. And
It was a work day.
Yes, and the senators and congresspeople would have all been there at the Capitol. They were really trying to destroy this country.
Michael?
Missionary, are you getting ready to say? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say this to the order radio. There are people that God loves, and he loves them praying for our country. That's why it's in heaven. There are many people, and I know I'm one of them, and probably you, that keep the things away from our captain. They wouldn't be able to stand if it had not been for the children of God that loves them. And I know when I bow or whatever I do, I think about my country, and I'm asking the whole, all of my committee, don't forget to pray for the president of these United States. We need to keep that in prayer.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
And do you know that many people have died since? You know, over 3,000 died that day, but thousands more have died as a result of the dust, the debris, chemicals, and other cancer-causing agents that they were breathing in that day in New York and in Washington, D.C. Those two jets that flew into the towers, that caused so much, and a lot of the police and firemen have died since. It's what a tragic event.
Tragic.
And I remember where I was, and I was working. I think all of us right now remember exactly where we were and what we were doing. And I remember I was in the basement of I think I was on my lunch break at Comerica. And somebody said, hey, there's a plane just went into a building in New York. And we actually shut our doors. People were people were in tears coming. Customers were coming in, and we were all nervous. Mm-hmm. I remember the Renaissance Center shut down because they were worried that a plane was going to run into the Renaissance Center.
Because GM had moved into that building.
You know, the fear across this country was that it was more was going to happen, that we were under attack. And a lot of people have forgotten the fear that we had across the whole country at that time. What a tragic day that was in 2001. Yeah. No, September 11th. And let me just go down around the Sunday morning team. Let me just start off with Henrietta with some of your reflections or anything you wanted to talk about. Henrietta.
Thank you. You know, Michael, I have to say that on that day, I remember it very well. I had just started my first day at work at Finite Grace Hospital. And I was so excited to be working in the field that I had chose to work in. But something about that day, and I can say this honestly, and I look back on that day, and every time I think about it, I'm like, you know, that day was so peculiar. And I say that because I was getting my children up for school, and it was like 7:30 in the morning in September, but it was still dark. And I'm like, why is it so dark outside? And so as we were getting ready and as I started, you know, moving around and getting them ready for school, it was something about that day that it just didn't light up till well after 8 o'clock. It was like it took a long time for the sun to come out. And I'm like, this is really weird. It's never been this dark, you know, like on a school day. It's always up and the sun is up and it's bright and people moving around. But I just felt something in my spirit was like really, really off. Got to work. Got to the floors. I'm delivering meds to the chemo floor, and I seen everybody crying. I'm like, "What's going on? Did somebody die?" It was kind of weird because everybody was, and then nurses was running through the hall screaming, "Oh my God! Oh my God! We're under attack!" And I'm like, "What's going on?" They said, "We've just been attacked. The Twin Towers in New York were hit by two planes, and they was going on and on about it." And you can hear the fear. You can see it. The whole hospital. We were just on total lockdown. And on that day, I remember praying like I've never prayed before. Like I just started praying really, really hard. They let everybody go home. You know, they shut down, they locked it down. The only thing that was open was the emergency room, operating rooms. But if employees wanted to go home, they could. If you wanted to stay your day out, you could. But it was just that kind of atmosphere. But, you know, when we think about that day and what this country was so vulnerable to, it makes you grateful that you were able to survive, because we didn't know what else was coming after that. And just like Missionary said, it you got to be a praying child when every day, because you don't know the attacks that are brewing even right now against this country from other countries. And when you are in a praying mindset daily, that is your protection for your life, your children's life, your community's life. When you pray one more than one coming together in prayer, that saves lives, that saves communities.
Right.
So I just remember really bad, you know, really praying really hard when I got home. I mean, I dropped to my knees and just, I went into prayer mode. Like, it was the natural. I just went into prayer mode praying that everybody, that for our country. I just remember that very, very vividly. Like, yes, I just remember praying very hard when I got home.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Well,
you
thanks
know,
for your reflection. Yeah, missionary.
You know, I'll probably be gone, but there's something else that's going to happen. America is good, and yet they are not too good, most of them. Because we're standing because there are people in Zion are praying like you are. When you bow at night or whenever you bow, you don't just think about yourself. You think about the peoples, just like the days of old. God still got his hand on America. We praying for them all the time.
Yes, you're so true. You're right, and we're gonna be talking about the Queen's death in a few minutes too, and I wanted to get people's input on that. But before we do that, let me just go to Kimberly. Go right ahead, Kimberly.
Good morning. So I remember exactly where I was. I was on the 17th floor of the One Woodward Building. I worked for the Detroit Regional Chamber. We were on the 17th, 18th, and 19th floors. My husband at that time worked for GM. So when I was in the office kitchen because my girlfriend, one of my coworkers, had said, "Hey, Kim, a plane just hit a building in New York." And she said, I was trying to find out some more information, so I turned my radio on and started looking for it. And I said, I hear something about it. I said, I'm not really sure what I'm listening to. So I got up and got a cup of coffee and went into the lunchroom and turned on CNN. And they showed the plane, you know, the aftermath. And there were two individuals that were standing on opposite sides of me, and we saw the second plane hit live. And the person that was on the right of me said, "That's a terrorist attack." And I remember my body went completely limp, because I didn't understand how to process that at that moment. One, we had seen a plane hit a building live. You saw the full explosion, the fear. Everything was palpable. I immediately picked up my phone because the person on the left of me had called, because we were a membership chamber, but we also worked with a lot of governmental agencies. And this particular person went and called the airport, and this is when the airport authority had just been formed. And he came back and said, "All the planes are grounded." And I went, "Oh, crap, this is serious," in my head. I called my husband. I said, "You have to get out. They're saying a plane is coming this way," because the plane in Pennsylvania, they weren't sure where it was going, and they thought it was coming to GM. Mm-hmm. And my husband, being who he is, said, "I'm not leaving early. I got a full day. I got to get, you know," trying to make his money. And I was like, "You need to go. This is serious." Fast forward, our executive director pulled us up into the ninth room, the entire staff, and said, "We're going to send a message to the terrorists and we're not going to go home." The entire city of Detroit, all of downtown, had been dismissed. Traffic was at a gridlock. And we were told to sit at our desk and work as if to show the terrorists that we were not afraid. You had people literally standing at large windows, like Michael, like you said, at Comerica, people were crying. We had people standing at the windows with teacups and coffee cups looking for a plane to come and crash into the building, because we thought if it crashed into the Renaissance Center, because we're directly across the street, it's going to hit us. And I just remember also praying that day, saying, "God, please," and I didn't have children. I only had dogs. But I was so worried about my puppies. I was like, "Who's going to take care of my puppies if I die?" You know, it was this terrible thing. And
it was the
fear of, I don't know what's getting ready to happen. I don't understand why this is happening. And I just remember saying, "Father God, please protect us." I don't even know what to ask for. I remember I called my closest friends.
across the country, and one was in Chicago specifically. And they had sent her out of the building that she worked in downtown Chicago, and they were walking away from the Sears Tower. And so I just remember being terribly fearful. But I want to leave you with a scripture that I used yesterday in a presentation that I did, and it fits so much for this and so much of what is occurring across the world and the fear that so many people feel. John 14:27 says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. That day in praying, I remember it was an election day. That was the first year that Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick was running. I was able to vote. I was able to make it home to my family. And I was able to call my grandmother, who had gone through Pearl Harbor. And my grandmother, I was crying to her, and I said, I don't understand. And she said, sometimes we don't, but what you have to always remember is you have to continue on. Keep your faith in God. That's what she told me. That's what sustained me through that day.
Great. Well, thank you. Our phone lines are lighting up, so I'm definitely going to have to go to a phone line. But let me just say, get Chaplain Kathy's input before I open up the phone lines. Chaplain Kathy, your reflections right now or whatever you want to talk about. Hold on, let me just make sure that I got.
Mark. Hello.
Day.
Go ahead, Bishop.
9/11 that day was very terrible for all of us. It was an experience that we all had to lie in. And I tell you, I'll forever make the comparison and say that 9/11, they labeled it as one of the worst days in American history. I think it was 11/9, because 11/9 was when we woke up and realized that Trump was the president. So when you look at, when I look at those two numbers, 9/11 and 11/9, oh my God, those were the two worst days in the back of history that I could possibly pick up at. But I thank God that we are learning to heal from that strike. And I thank God that he's been keeping us and putting us in a position to move forward. We're very cautious now, of course, and that's good, but we won't let our guard down. But I thank God that he'll keep us, and he'll continue to protect us. God bless you all. Shout out to
you,
missionary. Good to hear your voice. Amen. Good to hear your voice. Thanking God that you are still with us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chaplain. Appreciate that. You were saying something, missionary? Okay. All right. Well, let me... The other thing, too, is that the Queen died this week, a couple of days ago, after 70 years on the throne in England. I'm going to open up the phone lines now. Let me go to Brian. Brian, thanks for joining the program. I grew up in a British protectorate, Bermuda, and I remember I had to get up and sing God Save the Gracious Queen every morning when I got to school. We had to do that. You know, the British are full of pomp and circumstance. There's going to be a great outpouring. There are millions of people that are going to go to London. But as we said on the news earlier at 9 o'clock, that there are a lot of people across the world that are not commemorating or grieving her death. There are a lot of countries where they were subject to British rule, brutality, and they're not celebrating this morning. What are your thoughts on the Queen? And they're entering 10 days of mourning in Great Britain. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, first of all, that family has done a lot of wrong to people of color and indigenous people. So you're not going to have a lot of people around the world celebrating her death. And she wasn't supposed to be the queen. Here's the kicker. Charlotte was supposed to be the queen. The only reason she wasn't the queen, because she was black, and that was his daughter, and the Sussex was not going for it. So Queen Elizabeth took care of her for the rest of her life. But nobody has researched or seen or mentioned anything about it. The true queen was supposed to have been a black lady named Charlotte, who was older than Queen Elizabeth, her sister.
Well,
now they mention it.
We've never heard of that, though. You know, and the monarchy does. The monarchy does have some problems. I mean, look, Meghan,
Harry talked about
and Harry have had to remove themselves from the monarchy because of the backlash when they married. And there, as I said on the news earlier, there are a lot of countries in Africa, like Nigeria and South Africa, and
Jamaica,
and many Jamaica, that they are not celebrating right now.
Actually,
they're
celebrating her death. Not that she died, that they're happy she died. That's what they're celebrating. They're happy she's gone. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, Charlotte was supposed to be the queen by her being black. And that was her half-sister. Sussex was not going for it. Even Prince Harry talked about it on Oprah. See, a lot of people miss that.
Well, a lot of people don't realize also that, the British monarchy, what a brutal history. If you just look at their history of how they executed people over the generations and hundreds of years, they did a lot that it was barbaric over the past 1,000 years of the monarchy. So we have to look at that and to take that into consideration too, what she represented. And I was glad to see Meghan and Harry in London shaking hands with the people that came to the funeral. They were out there, and that says a lot too, because I think if the Queen was still here, she would not encourage them to come to London to mix with the family and the people there. But yes, I know, Missionary, we got a couple more minutes left. Thank you, Brian. Thank you for calling in and listening on the program this morning. Right. Yes. So, Missionary, let me try to go ahead.
We had a call coming in from Franklin Wright. Juanita was trying to get you. Mark.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I don't see the call in here right now, but as soon as I do, I'll make sure and patch her through. Let me go over to Reverend Smith. Randall Smith, thanks so much for calling in and listening this morning. We talked about Chaplain Kathy had mentioned your name and wanted to see what you thought about the fact that he had an event yesterday that that Henrietta and I attended, Mrs. Vantool actually attended, but we could not find Chaplain Kathy anywhere around. I kind of beat up on him a little bit. Too much,
I'm glad the missionary's still alive. I'm glad she's alive and you beat me up.
And so Minister Smith, I had been a little, I think I was a little bit too harsh on Bishop Kathy this morning, but go right ahead, Dr. Smith. You're on, Reverend. You there? Okay, I patched him on.
Someone on mute.
Okay, I tried to patch him in there. But missionary, yes, I was hoping that you're here. Okay, great. Go right ahead. The floor is yours, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Or do you want to call a question?
You are not?
Do you want to call a living person? And I'm looking forward to
that. We're hearing a lot of background.
Yeah.
Better yet, I will send it to you. So I'll have the link and all I got to do is get on.
I'm running to a service, but I'll be doing it.
We are hearing so much static. I can't even. We're gonna have to kind of fix that line and get that cleared up. All right, we are hitting 10 o'clock. Missionary, let me just give you the last word here because we've got another hour to go. But missionary, you have any closing thoughts before you head off to church this morning?
Yeah, I just want to say it's been a great day, and God loves us all, and I'm on my way out to my church. And may the Lord bless each one, and don't forget to let's pray for one another. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. My prayer for all the saints everywhere. Amen.
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 Amen. All right.
Amen.
God bless you, missionary.
Yeah, and
you,
we'll
Mr.
talk
Yuri.
To you next time right here on Community Highlights. We'll be back with more of the Michael Van Tool Show right after these messages.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Then make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. With Johnny Hawkins, a nationally recognized super lawyer, he cares, and his primary focus is on providing exceptional service to each client, and not just winning big. For your free telephone consultation with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. Again, that's 248-567-9990. Support Black excellence by allowing Black excellence to support you through service.
And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Call 331-248-7120.
All right, we are back. This is the Michael Van Tool Show. We got an extended hour this morning. We've got more to go. I'm looking forward to this homeless event to support the homeless coming up in on September 24th. And I talked to Sharia Perry, the organizer, about this. And then Carmen, who wrote a book for children on children and finances, she's going to be attending as a with a book signing for a book. I'm going to be there also, maybe do a little poetry and jazz. And here's my interview with Sharia Perry and Carmen Watson.
Blog Talk Radio.
Talk about an event that she's coming up in September, on September 24th, and also author Carmen Watson, author of Counting My Pennies, and we'll be talking to her too. So welcome, guys. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Thank you for inviting us.
Absolutely. Sharia Perry, welcome back again. You've also, this is not your first time here on the show, or at least in the studios here. Congratulations on putting this event together to benefit the homeless. Tell us a little bit about this this event coming up on September 24th.
Well, thank you for having me, Mike. It's always a pleasure to be here. I would definitely tell everyone about the event. This is the event that I want you to share with the neighbors, your friends around you. It's called Hope for the Homeless. This is a community resource event, free admission, with the donation of a tree. The event will be held at the address of 23401 Mound Road in Warren, Michigan, and it's going to be held from 12 to 5 p.m.
So this is to benefit the homeless. Tell me what the day is going to look like. What time does it start again?
From 12
from
to 12.
5. So what's it going to look like? What's happening during this day?
So there will be a series of events going on throughout the day. So starting at 12, when you come in, there will be free food available for while it lasts. We'll have a lot of free resources available. Wayne State Mobile Clinic will be there providing preventative screenings and services free of charge. You don't need ID. You don't need to make an appointment. Just come. They'll be doing HIV testing, diabetes testing, cholesterol, blood pressure, COVID testing, flu shots, you name it. That's why we want to share this event and let people know about it.
You're doing this to benefit the homeless. Tell me, what have you seen and heard that causes you to put something like this together? What is it like out those without a place to stay?
This event I'm very passionate about. I put my heart and soul into this because it's personal. We all been through things. But because I wanted to share that there are resources available for people to use and get on their feet that we might not know about. Had I not had people tell me about programs that's available in the community, I would not have known either. So I want to use this platform to educate, to inform, to bring services to people that might not be able to get it otherwise.
So you'll have resources available for those who are homeless?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There'll be my community dental will also be there doing dental work as well. So they can come get just about a whole workup, you know, that day for free. You know, come and you need, like I say, no ID or nothing like that.
You're also gearing this to focus on children, too. What are some of the events that you have geared towards entertaining the kids?
I was blessed to partner with Detroit Councilman Scott Benson. He will be supplying backpacks and free school supplies while they last. We also have face painting for the kids, the 360 photo booth, and a lot of giveaways going on that day.
Mm-hmm. Tell me some of the, you know, because none of this stuff is free. I mean, it's free for those who want to attend, but somebody had to pay for this stuff. Tell me some of the sponsors and what they contributed to this event.
So, yes, like you said, this event is not free to hold. The expenses are adding up, but I thank God for the sponsors. Carmanos has played a part in donations. We have a sponsorship from Myers. We have a lot of community partners that have joined. The Great Divine Center will be there providing items for pregnant women. So come out, resources, information, and free giveaways as well. This is just a whole information resource event. And it's free.
You know, there's a lot involved here. You must have a team of 100 volunteers that help you pull this together. What is it like doing something on this grand scale? And do you do a lot of this stuff yourself? I think I already know the answer.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, there is so much work to be put in this. And, of course, something to this magnitude cannot be done alone. It does take a lot of people on a team to make something like this with a big impact. Mike, and us, including you, advice from and counsel from people that have done this before, no man's an island. I cannot do this myself. I'm so grateful for everyone that has joined, have gave advice, sent me to the right connections, or just come together. You know, all things work together for the good.
Yes. Now, It's going to be on at 23401 Mound Road on Saturday, September 24th, starting at 12 noon. The venue, will some of this be inside and outside? Let's paint us a picture of what this is going to look like, what the day is going to look like. There's going to be a lot of activities, a lot of things. You even got, like, some hustle dancing lessons too, right?
Yes, Mike. Today will be filled with events going on. We even have signed artists that will be performing and a lot of local artists. We have dance teams that have joined to be a part of the entertainment. And I'm so grateful for everybody that has been willing to bring awareness to the community about homelessness. Actually, Mike, this is a kickoff to National Homeless Awareness Week for Metro Detroit. So everybody come out, show your support for Homeless Awareness Month, and it's going to be great.
So, again, it's free. It's going to be at 23401 Mound Road, and that's in Warren. What mile is that near?
That's close to 9 miles.
Close to 9 mile. And it's going to be free and starting at 12. Now, like you said, I'm going to come and try to do a little poetry and jazz for about 60 seconds or so.
Come on.
And then and then you've got the mime troupe coming in.
Yes.
And then you've got the author, new author Carmen Watson, coming in to talk, have a book signing for her new book too. And Carmen is here in the studio. Good morning, Carmen. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. First, I must say thank you for inviting me out today. And I just want to give God the glory, because without him, nothing is possible. And he's the reason why I'm here, and I'm spreading the news of finance and wealth for our young people.
Now, Carmen, you and I have worked on projects before. We go way back. And I mean, I always knew you were great and destined for even greater and all that kind of stuff, but you keep this kind of a secret, and I did not know that you were working on a book, and you're going to have copies of your book available at this September 24th event for the homeless that Sheria Perry is hosting. You're going to have a book signing and everything. So tell us a little about the book. It's financially related, but tell us what this book is about and who's it geared for.
Well, my book is called Counting My Pennies, and this book is directed for young people from 6th grade to 8th grade. And the book has a little bit about basic banking, talks about financial wealth for our young people, kiddie entrepreneurship, and talks about needs and wants, and preparing our young people to learn a little bit about credit and so on, how to budget. So this is what my book is based on. And all this knowledge came because I was a financial person for 30 years, and the Lord has put all this knowledge in my head, and I just put it out on paper.
When did you start writing this? Because, you know, like you said, you've been in the financial industry for a number of decades. How long has this been in your mind thinking about it, and when did the whole thing start, this process?
So I'm just going to briefly say, Mike, the thought of writing a book was back in 2020, you know, right when COVID started. But this idea about writing the financial part came to me this year when the Lord kind of moved my focus onto something else. And so that's what came about, the financial portion, because I'm always trying to talk to someone about getting their financial wealth together. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord said the better way to do it is to put it on paper. And so I love talking to young people, and I like to encourage them. And I want to see our young people better than what we are. I don't want to see our young people in financial debt. So I thought about it. What is a good age to start teaching our young people?
And I figure if your young child at 10 can ask you for some money to go shopping to buy video games, then they can learn the difference between needs and wants, and they can learn the basic banking rules.
Carmen, do you believe that there is then a lack of knowledge for especially young people, African-American kids in particular, about finance, about banking, about money? And does that hurt us here in the economy?
Well, Mike, I would say you probably know the answer to that because we've both been in financial. But, yes, there's a lot of lacking in the schools on teaching our kids about finance. And that's why they grow into adults and struggle and don't know how to handle their money. And so to your question, yes, we need to help our young people now get the education for literacy in finance. So financial literacy, we have to teach that now. We cannot wait till they turn 21 after graduating from college and then they owe all this money to credit card because they went out and got 21 credit cards. And now they're in financial debt. They can't get a car. They can't buy a home. So we have to teach them the basic stuff now so they can move into adulthood.
And is that what this book is about, the basics now? And does that mean that another book is coming? Because this book tackles the basics. It doesn't tackle checking accounts, credit cards, credit, finance, and all that kind of stuff. This goes to the beginning about the basics in money and counting your pennies.
Well, Mike, this book gives you a taste of the next book. So this book gives you a little introduction. It gives you an introduction to checking accounts. It gives you an introduction to credit. And I use the illustration of your credit in school versus personal credit in the world. So it gives you an introduction on that. It also talks a little bit about kitty entrepreneurship. Young people are doing now and most of them are saving kind of teach and save because we have so many YouTubers that are young and we don't know what to do with money and we know what the financial wealth.
And I'm sure you agree that if they have a basis in basic finance and money and things like that, will help them to be more self-sufficient. They won't have to rely on somebody else and go forward. It empowers you. There are so many lessons learned and reasons why something like this is good. Now, on Saturday, September 20th, you're going to be there. What will we be able to buy copies and have you sign them and all that kind of stuff? What's that going to look like?
Yes. On Saturday, I'm looking forward to bless everyone with a copy of my book. The cost will be $10. So bring your $10 along with your mind and your knowledge in helping our young people. And don't think of it as given to me, but think of it as a blessing to your child because what's in this book is worth more than $10.
Now, if they miss you, if you sell all your books and you sell out, how can we, let's say that, if you sell out and we don't have no more books, how can we get them? What's your contact information if they want to learn more about you and getting a copy of the book?
Well, if you miss out on getting my books, and I will say amen to that, I will sell them all, but you can go to Amazon.com. and order a book, or you can go to a local black-owned bookstore, blackstonebookstore.com, and order a book from them. So if you miss out on Saturday, you can also give me a call at 734-373-9064.
Great. And Sharia, you know, this is great that you can enlarge your event to include somebody like Carmen Watson to this. I think it just shows that you're destined to even greater things too, because God is putting this together for you now. And, you know, he sends the people, you know, and the resources and all. when you start, when you put one foot forward. And I'm sure your faith has a lot to do with this too, just like Carmen does with her project. That's true. And, you know, how does that make you feel when you do something like this for people who can't, you know, people who are homeless? What does that do for you?
Thank God for everything he's brought me through. And what we go through is part of our testimony. When we come out, we're supposed to tell the next person, encourage the next person that's going through something, that it's going to be okay, to hold on to your faith, to stand firm and just wait on God to do what he's going to do. But in saying that, God always opens the door. And like you say, if we put one foot forward, and if we just take one step, he'll do the rest. Yeah. And that's kind of how I know the difference between my big ideals and a God idea. Because things kind of work out. All things, it might be scary at first. I might not know which way to go, how to start it. But if he leads you something, he'll bring you through it.
Once you put this in motion, then things started coming together. Yeah, and I guess sometimes you can't. If we had to think about everything, we would probably won't do anything, you know. But it's something about faith, I guess. You take a step forward. He sends that, you know, your steps might be little, but his are bigger steps, you know. So, all right, well, let's get back to when and where. So it's going to be Saturday, September 24th.
At the MRCC Hall. The address is 23401 Mound Road in Warren, Michigan, 48091.
Great. Well, we're looking forward to I'm looking forward to being there. Carmen, you'll be there with a big stack of books. I'll be getting my copy and my signed copy and everything, so I'm looking forward to that. And again, do you have a Facebook page, website? Tell us about getting in contact with you to learn more about the book, Counting My Pennies.
Okay. So, Michael and our audience, if you want to get in touch with me, you can go to Peart, P-E-A-R-T, Consultant, Consultants, Group, Group, .us, or you can send me an email to Peart, Peart, Consultants, @iCloud.com. The phone number again is 734-373-9064.
Great. All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you both, Sharia Perry, community organizer. That's the name I've given you now because I know this, there's going to be more after this. Yes. And so thank you for this caring event for those who are homeless and trying to provide resources for them. And Carmen, thank you also for being here and being a part of this.
And one more thing, I just want to say thank you, Sharia, for inviting me out to be a part of your community highlights event. And I know that the Lord is going to bless you. And we're going to have a great time.
Yes.
And he's going to bring people out, support you.
Amen.
Yes, and thank you. I'm going to do the same thing. Thank you for including me in this. And I can't wait for to see some of the things that you're going to be doing in the future. Okay, again, I'm here with Sharia Perry, community organizer of this event on September 24th in Warren, and also Carmen Watson, author of Counting My Pennies. She's going to be at the event with her book signing too. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thanks for joining me here on the Michael Van Tool Show. We're going to take a couple minutes break with Benjamin Brothers. We're going to come back with an interview with Keith Hudson, the CEO of Benjamin Brothers, and then we're going to go back to the Sunday morning team to wrap up after that. So we'll be right back after this break.
Benjamin Brothers Realty Sales Agent. This is the newest and most lucrative program of modern time, which provides you with unlimited funding. This is our Tier 3 program. We find them, we fix them, we flip them. 100% financing program. This program gives you the ability to partner with Benjamin Brothers Realty and broker deals as 50-50 partners. We purchase, we pay for materials, we pay for labor, and you benefit. This means Benjamin Brothers Realty will, number one, train you on how to find good deals and provide the contract to lock in the deal. Number two, we train you on how to build your team of contractors and pay all labor costs. Number three, Benjamin Brothers Realty provides all financing for materials. Number four, your obligation is to tune in every Monday and Thursday and pay a one-time only sales agent fee of $2,500. And number five, after all fees are paid, next is the big check, the 50-50 split. Incentives on being a sales agent include building your team, profiting on your efforts, $250 upfront referral fee, or 5% off the first deal, 2.5% from the person who signed you up, and 2.5% from Benjamin Brothers Realty, totaling 5%. Incentives on being a senior sales agent include sign up for the sales agents, and you receive 5% royalty for as long as your team is active. Does this sound like a good deal to you? I thought so. Give us a call today at 331-248-7120. Talk to you soon.
And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Call 331-248-7120.
All right, we're back. We're just getting ready to go into our second interview this morning. This one is with Keith Hudson, CEO of Benjamin Brothers Real Estate, and it's talking about his experiences and his knowledge about this find 'em, fix 'em, flip 'em phenomenon that he has going on. Here's that interview conducted by Angie.
We have Mr. Keith Hudson here this morning. Mr. Hudson, how are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How about yourself? How you doing?
I'm doing good, doing good. So
great.
Now I've been hearing a lot of the good things about you out there in these streets.
I hope so.
Yes, and all good.
Okay.
So what's going on with this new company that you started? Give us the 411 on that.
Benjamin Brothers Realty. It's a new age real estate company.
Okay.
One of the most lucrative businesses that you can get into right now is real estate. And I found my niche in the industry, yes ma'am. And been established since 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going pretty well. It's going pretty good.
Really, really. Well, I had also seen on social media that you have you're promoting something about a sales agent.
A sales agent, yes.
How do you explain that?
Well, I've been blessed and honored to partner with some investors, private funding, which I have unlimited funding to buy houses and repair them
and
what have you. And what I'm looking for is sales agents to help in this journey. The sales agent would actually be taught how to become an investor and how to find good deals, and then we'll send them on their way after training them, and then they'll go out, find good deals, and we do a 50-50 split.
A 50-50 split? Wait a minute. Okay, so you mean to tell me a sales agent, you just go out there, you find something, bring it to you, fix and flip, and then 50-50 split? How does that work? That's
well,
crazy. You don't hear that.
Yeah, that's, it's not. I mean, typically you've got real estate agents, and they get 3-6% commission on properties that they list. Well, you can get those same real estate agents and now turn them real estate agents into investors. Mm-hmm. Those of a person never done real estate before. I showed them how to become investors. Even if you have license, it doesn't mess with your license. You still can keep your license. But when you find that one good deal, that one sweet deal, we can partner up and buy the property, rehab it if it's necessary, and do a 50-50 split.
Wow, you hear that, everybody? 50-50 split? That's excellent. I mean, that you're right about the most lucrative new thing because banks are not even giving that. Loan companies, nobody. That's a great thing that you're doing there. So how would you do, like, do you have any prerequisites to how to become a sales agent or what you need to do?
Well, a couple small requirements. We ask them to log on to our Zoom call. We say Zoom in on our calls every Monday and Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Zoom call, and I teach them how to become a sales agent, all the perks of being a sales agent, and what's required of them. So very simple.
Wow, that is interesting. So you hear that, everybody? Zoom in Mondays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That is good. That is good information. Now, let me ask you, so when and how did you start your real estate journey? Like, how many, I know you've been in business for a long time, but when did you start that? When did you?
I've been in business approximately about 25 years.
Wow.
I started back in 1998.
Okay.
My first real estate journey. I started off doing mortgages, and from there I started going to the auction and purchasing property. My first auction, I got my teeth cut, and I bought a few property, a few empty lots.
Okay.
And from there, I never looked back. You know, I got hooked, you know.
Oh, yeah, I heard something about that real estate bug. You get bit by it, and...
Yeah, once you get bit by the real estate bug, you never go back.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's good. I mean, I real estate is big nowadays. That's all you hear about. So for you to still be in business 25 years later and to have something so, you know, competitive going on is a great thing. It's a blessing.
Yes,
now,
I have
some more questions for you. Just a few more questions, if you don't mind.
I know you're busy.
But what was the first... million-dollar company that you started?
The first one was in 2005. I just turned 30.
Mm-hmm.
That year I turned 30.
30?
Yeah, I made $964,000 in that one physical year. So, yeah, that was a very, very good year for me. I was actually what they call wholesaling now. We called it, I was buying and selling. And through that journey, I actually did very well that year for myself. So since then, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I was gonna say when you said buying and selling, that's kind of and wholesaling. I remember my dad. You know, he's also in real estate somehow, but he says flipping it was called. So I don't know if you've ever heard it called that before, but.
We call it flipping now, but back then it was a cuss word. They used the word flipping back then. You get indicted using the word flipping back then, but now it's accessible. They let you use it nowadays.
That's funny. See how things come about. We use them back in the day, and then we bring it back out.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so now, what would you say about the earlier years? I had seen some articles about you starting this really good thing in Michigan with first-time home buyers.
Mm.
How did that work? I'm taking you back.
Yeah, you are, yes. We had a program called Own Your Own Home. And we would do would we would offer properties for $1,500 down.
Mm.
We would actually have a payment between $300 to $500 for 18 months. And wow. Then after the 18 months, they would own the property. We bought and sold over 1,500 houses in less than 5 years, and we also made over 500 first-time home buyers.
Wow, that is a great accomplishment, because being a home buyer is the American dream. So you made 500 people get to that American dream, made it achievable for them.
Yeah, we try to lower the bar for anything when it comes to real estate. Same thing we're doing now with Benjamin Brothers Realty. I am trying to lower the bar for anybody that wants to become an investor. We have a program, which is our sales agent program, and with that program, we teach them how to be an investor. Everybody's dream is to be an investor, a real estate investor.
Yeah.
So we lower the bar and we show them and teach them just how to do that.
Wow, that is interesting. That's a great thing that you're doing for people, because everybody wants to get into real estate. Everybody thinks you need to get a real estate license or take a mortgage class or a brokerage class, but you've made it very attainable for people. You know, and I think that's awesome. That is awesome.
It's no credit needed.
Really?
You don't have to take your license. If you do have a license, you still can join the team. So with or without it, you can join. You don't need credit.
Okay.
You know, very, very minimum cash. We got programs to work it out to appease you in your financial situation. It's not much to actually become part of the team. The education is phenomenal. It's so overwhelming, the education that we have and how we teach people how to be investors. So whether you're a real estate agent and already know, or whether it's your first time ever hearing about real estate, it's so comprehensive that you wouldn't believe that you'll be an investor in a few weeks, literally.
Yes, that is awesome. And, you know, when you said it's so comprehensive, I remember I heard one of your commercials. I hear you have those out, too. And they say it's so comprehensive and it's not expensive. It's a catchy song. It's catchy.
It's very catchy. We do have some commercials. Our website is definitely something that you should log on to, BeatBrosRealty.com. It's a very, very, very comprehensive website. We got pictures. We got videos. We got our programs there. So we're doing a little bit of everything. We're a one-stop shop, for lack of a better term. Yes, ma'am.
Wow, that's good to hear. That is good to hear. Well, I also hear some buzz on some book that you have, some tell-all secrets or real estate things that you have. I don't know what you got going on there, but if I'm interviewing you, you got to tell.
Okay. Well, I do have a wholesale book that I did write. And actually, I have a credit book that will be coming out in the next several months. But the wholesaling book is called Benjamin's Five Easy Ways. It's my five easy ways to do wholesaling. This is how I actually made my first $1 million at the age of 30. And all those secrets, I put it in this book here. And it's a very, very great, and also a very short read. It's not long and drawn out. Maybe 45 minutes an hour you can be finished with it from cover to cover. But it's definitely going to get you started in real estate.
Okay. Oh, you heard it first, guys. Benjamin's Five Easy Ways to Real Estate Wholesaling by Mr. Keith Hudson. $5.99 on Amazon. Pick it up. He's telling us the secrets of real estate. Also, anything else you want to discuss with us? Want to tell us any new things coming out or anything else you got coming on we can be expecting?
Well, I'm planning on teaching classes on real estate, giving you guys a comprehensive look and to make it simplified, to simplify it for those that don't know how to do it. So I'm planning on actually partnering up with the station and kind of moving forward and kind of being a fixture here at the station from now on, if that's all possible. If I'm wanted like that, and if you guys think I'm worthy of it, then I'm going to be a fixture on the station for months and years to come, Lord willing.
Oh, yes. So that we are looking forward to that. We're definitely looking forward to that.
Now, just to put it out there before you go, I'm looking for a part time. So if you ever need a secretary, you can call me.
With your conversation, you'll be a great sales agent. And I need to teach you everything I know and let you get out there and make millions of dollars.
Okay, well, we'll have to set that up. I'll be there Monday and Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yes, please zoom in. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you, and God bless.
Thank you so much, Mr. Hudson. We'll talk again.
Much love.
And my thanks to Angie also for conducting that interview with Keith Benjamin, with Keith Hudson, CEO of Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. The Sunday Morning Team is here. Kimberly Batchelor Davis, Henrietta Ivy, and Chaplain Kathy here on the show. We got a few minutes left. Let me just go down the list. Henrietta, we were over at Pastor Joyce's event. Fun City, Not Gun City, they call Pastor Joyce the Harriet Tubman of the hood. It was a great show, Chaplain, I really see some bigger things for Fun City, Not Gun City going to the future. They had some real good talent there yesterday.
It was an amazing event, Michael. I mean,
it was huge.
There were testimonies in those songs that everybody performed yesterday. And as the audience grew, they were engaged. They came off the stage. They had a praise dancer. I feel like if we can move forward in keeping something like this, I know this event is going into its third year putting on this event for the community. I just want to, find out how can we promote it better, because I was on my, social media telling everybody to come out, my niece lived right up the street, on Westwood, and I was texting her like, hey, look, bring the kids down. This is because there's so much positivity in there, and the energy of these young people who's, allowing Christ to be in their life, and they're, rapping about it or singing about it and giving their personal testimony as to why they changed their life, being that they, went to God to change it, and they made songs and performances about it. It was just absolutely mind-blowing, literally. Thank you, Bishop Tassie, for inviting me, because this is my first one, and trust I'll be coming again, and I want to find out how I can participate and, promoting this, because this was absolutely an amazing event. I can go on about it, but I can absolutely tell you we need more of this in the neighborhood. We really need to promote this in every neighborhood that's experiencing high crime with our young people, in neighborhoods where families can, feel like somebody cares by letting these kids tell their stories and these families tell their stories. The more we promote something like this in the community, I feel it will better our communities moving forward.
Yes. And then, as I was saying earlier, you are out here. Tell us about what your week was like, some of the events you attended.
Michael, this is my element. I'll say that honestly. It is my element to move around in these communities. I couldn't wait for them to give us the go that we could be out here, because, I was pandemic bound. I'm like, nope, not going around folks, not.
Yep.
But I am, I was no visitor zone. You're not coming up in here.
Yep.
So I have been attending a lot of events in the community, talking and organizing and speaking with voters and, just getting people's stories daily. And I had the opportunity to be invited to a few events, including the one yesterday. I know that the one I attended yesterday was called the Black Male Leadership Conference, and this was an amazing conference recognizing black male leadership in the community. That was really, really something to see. I was glad to be in attendance of that, because we need more shadowing on that as well, to uplift the male black leadership in our community. I know that we are strong on, female leadership and female empowerment, and I'm all for that, let me be clear. But I feel that we need a balance, and that balance is, as a black woman, I need my black male to be upfront with me. I stand with my sister. I say that with my heart. But let me be clear. I need my black man to be right there beside us. We as black women cannot continue to say we lead, and it pushes our push our black
right.
men to the back.
Without
it's
us.
Not a, that's not
yeah.
a good look. Because with this black male leadership, you don't know, you don't get the opportunity to see all the leadership that's going on out here in our communities, how some of these black men are really fighting in the community to make our communities better. Because the spotlight is always put on black women leadership. And again, I'm all for that. But I cannot
right.
sit up here in good conscience and say, I want to just do female. I'm in good conscience, I can't do it. I want my black men to stand beside me. I want my black leadership to lead us. So we can
yeah.
continue to be a strong force in our community. So being at that conference and seeing all that black power, male power in the room, it gave me so much joy. Because, again, there are a lot of black men out here doing great things, and we're not recognizing it. We're not.
Yes,
black
and I
women
wish...
are caught up in that, in our own empowerment, to where we forgot black men need to be empowered too.
Right,
so
right.
I
and I wish the...
Yeah. It was amazing.
The,
we had a lot of great
the cameras.
Yep.
I wish they were all there. I wish 247 were at that event for the black males, the awards
mm-hmm.
that were in the recognition that they gave out. That's important.
Yeah.
You know, for the whole race to succeed.
That's right.
It's got to be
that's right.
black men and black women. Right.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
And
we
can't not
exactly.
get left out.
Exactly.
We can't. Yeah.
We can't. We can't leave it out, Michael. And I just want to just end that with also being in there. There was a couple of people that two of my candidates were honored for their leadership in the community. Mr. Andre Otis was honored. Andre Otis and Hugh Steele.
Right.
Steele Hughes. I'm sorry. I always call him Hughes, but his name is Steele Hughes. Both of them were honored, and they also received a tribute from state rep now running for state senate, Mary Kavanaugh, who recognized them and gave them a tribute from the state of Michigan. So they received their plaque from the leadership conference, and they also received a state of Michigan tribute certificate as well. Talking about the work that they do. So I like to say that, come on, guys, I'm proud of y'all, and I want to see more of this. Keith Williams was the keynote speaker. He threw down. Then we had Kimberly Naylor, who is a black woman-owned construction company. And I'm like, I got to get with her because I'm trying to do something in that field too. And we just had a lot of great male speakers, and they hit on some topics, baby. I wish the news could have been there. It was eye-opening, and it was empowering. It was powerful and empowering. So I'm looking forward to the next one.
And it energizes you too, doesn't it, when you go
yes,
out
Lord.
And see this?
Because
I can tell you were inspired by
yes.
that those events of yesterday. I want to get
yes.
Kimberly to jump in and talk about, because you just finished your a Women's Day, didn't you, Kimberly?
Yes, yesterday, and thank you for bringing that up. We
uh-huh.
wanted to talk about peace and finding peace, maintaining your peace, and understanding where that peace actually comes from. And the scripture that I gave you this morning, John 14:27, speaks directly to that. And so we had three dynamic speakers yesterday, and I was one of them, and I was honored and privileged to do so. And it just was an opportunity for several congregations to come together. We had the Royal Oak Church of Christ. We had the Farmington Hills Church of Christ. We had Northeastern Church of Christ. I believe we had Linwood Church of Christ, Elmwood Park Church of Christ, which is my home church. If I said Redford Church of Christ already, I'm sorry. But there were several congregations. So we had
what
almost
was your
100
message?
Ladies.
What was your
mine
message?
Mine was finding,
Kimberly.
Mine was finding and maintaining peace. And I said, essentially what I said is the what, how, and why. What is having a calm state of mind? And I said, I don't know about the rest of y'all. I said, but the last 2 years, it's been difficult. We've had COVID. We've had mass shootings. We've had political upheavals, all the things that you're talking about. I am the mother of two dynamic black male leaders to come in society. And I
all right,
speak
there
to
you
them.
Go.
I speak to them about what their role is and what the things that they should be doing. Now, sometimes we get off into, well, I just want to tell people what to do. I said, that's all fine and good. I said, but that's not really what you should be doing. I said, to be a leader is to inspire people, to help other people be better. It's not about you. It's about helping other people. And so I'm raising two young men to understand that their role is not just in taking care of themselves, but in taking care of their community. But the how, going back to my message, so the what is having a calm state of mind. The how is leaning into the word. You got to pray. You got to be in worship with God. That means attending church services. That means interacting with the saints, your fellow church members, different things like that. But really focusing in, digesting the word of God. That means cracking that Bible open. You know, Michael, I'm going to pick on you because you always talk about you're not a Bible scholar and, you know, you're not like everybody else. I'm going to tell you, you got to get in that Bible. You got to get in that Bible. You got to start reading. And you have to develop a prayer life. You really have to be able to pray. And the beauty of prayer is we can do it anywhere, anytime, any way we desire to do so. It is free. We aren't under this restriction where, you know, for some, you have to do it a particular time of the day. We can pray wherever. And I tell people all the time, and people laugh at me, Kim, you pray over candy bars. I said, I sure do. I pray over a pack of M&Ms and ask God, please protect me from whatever's in here, but I'm going to enjoy my peanut M&Ms, Father. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Look, I know my neighbors must say, gee, why does Michael take so long to back out of his driveway? Because one of the things I do, yes, because when I get out in the car, I start it up and then I pray, I'm sometimes sitting there for more than 2-4 minutes then I back out, and then sometimes I'll pray as soon as I pull up into the parking lot here at the building before I get out. I'll pray before I get out, but you gotta start off somehow. Chaplain, he's still on the line too. If you want to say something, Chaplain, you can jump right in, but you've got to start the day off. And I pray before I go on the air, before I do this show, every Sunday morning. But because
I do too.
You got to get God's blessing, his strength, and then he communicates with you and tells you stuff. So that once you do pray and before you, like even before I perform or go to speak, and I'm sure you do the same thing. Some of you guys do the same thing. Before I get up, one thing I found out is that once I say a prayer before I perform, it calms me right down, and I have this blessed assurance. I get this confidence, and it's like I'm going to get some backup now, and I'm not out there by myself. You know, that's the why. Prayer does
and
for
that's
me.
The why.
Yes.
And that's the why, because it gives you
fear.
That peace. That's right. And,
some people think, as missionary says,
why worry if you're going to pray? And if you're going to pray, why worry? So
that's right. People think that those of us who perform and speak all the time think we don't get nervous or afraid or anything like that. Let me tell you, if you didn't, something is wrong, because
being nervous
gives you it means that you don't want to fail. It means you don't want to mess up. It means you don't want to make a mistake. So it's okay to get nervous. Some people I thought were comfortable on stage all these years, I found out they were a nervous wreck. They were taking drugs. There are some performers in the past and now that can't perform unless they get high, unless they start drinking and smoking, taking some kind of drug. I don't need to take no drug. I just say a prayer. I just connect with God.
I need Jesus.
I'm slipping. And look, it took me an hour and 55 minutes before I start doing this preaching thing. I slipped into it just now. In the last 10 minutes, but you know what? I'm telling people, and I like to share, and that's one of the reasons why I do the radio programs, is I like to share stuff that I learn. And one of the things that I learned, and somebody's learning a lesson right now, and they found out that that's what I do. It's okay to get nervous. It's okay to pray before you get up to speak or say something.
That's right.
I'm still trying to figure out how Henrietta Ivey spoke at the National Democratic Convention back in 2016. I'm trying to figure how.
Because he had Jesus.
I'm trying to figure out.
Absolutely. I prayed all weekend while I was in Philadelphia. I prayed beforehand. You know what? The funny thing, Michael, is about that, when I first found out about it, I went into prayer mode. I literally went into prayer mode because it's like, okay, now I know what this is. Like I told you guys the story before, I didn't know what DNC meant. When they told me I was going to be a speaker, I'm like, oh, okay, I spoke at a lot of these little events and stuff. Mm-hmm. And everybody's going to be like, girl, do you know what the DNC, do you know what that means? I'm like, no, what is it?
You are the only person on the Sunday morning team that has spoken to millions of people at one time.
That's right.
At an event.
That's right.
Okay,
I love it.
Award for that.
Well, you know what I'm learning to accept? That after 6 years ago, I mean, it was 2016, so we say 7 years ago roughly, I am now understanding how powerful that is. And I'm going to tell you why, because I did not – it was humbling for me because I didn't set out to make a name for myself like that. I'm always community engaged, of course, but I didn't set out to make a name. So it's now 7 years later that, wow, that was powerful. How do you now move forward and engage in your community even more? And my speaking engagements have gotten more and, you know, stronger. I have became more fluent in the speaking engagement game. And it just, you know, every time I look at that and I take a moment and say, that was millions. That was just millions of people. I think it was 350,000 in the audience. But they told me it overall, I spoke national or country, across the country, there was almost 30-plus million people that heard that speech. 30-plus
million. Wow. That's a blessing.
That is
It still makes butterflies in my stomach when I mention that number. I'm like, wow.
Well, I would probably have been in prayer for an hour before I went out on that stage. I mean, every little thing, so many people were watching. You were on the world stage, and I tell you, that is something I'll never forget. I'll never forget
Thank you.
Well, we've come down to the last, like, less than, like, about 3 minutes left. I want to thank the Sunday morning team. And especially you guys that hung in to the very end here. It was a power-packed show today, of course, talking with Sharia, Perry, and Carmen Watson, and Keith Hudson. It was a lot. Missionary Humphrey, Community Highlights, and the callers. We had a lot packed in today. What a show today, I tell you. I really enjoyed the program today, and I really enjoy the fact that, you know, we can add time and add days and all that kind of stuff. But one day is enough for me. One day is enough. It's a lot of work. As you all know, how, and I'm not preaching to the choir here. You all know what it takes to do these programs. But thank you guys, Kimberly Batchelor Davis, Henrietta Ivy, Chaplain Kathy, Missionary Humphrey, the callers, Evangelist Christy Laster Andrews, who's out of town today, but will be back with us. Thank you. Make it a great day. I think I'm going to go out on the grill, and I'm trying to use up these days before it's over. Okay, it's September 11th. I'm going to grill some stuff today. I think do some ribs or something, but that's going to
be
my day.
Tell Mr. Lynn, too, I'll be over there. I'll bring
you
mine.
I'll let her know. I was shocked yesterday. I said, I'm going to this thing. You want to come with me? She said, yes. And I realized, oh, my God, she's retired now. She can actually say yes, because for years, she has not been able to go out there with me, but now she can go. And she was looking great, wasn't she, Henrietta?
It seemed like
another woman, another wife.
Michael's not lying, guys. She
and she's retired.
Absolutely amazing. Wow.
And she looks like
a 30-year-old woman. I kid you not, like she looks so young now.
I'll post some pictures today. I'll put some stuff on there. But all right,
okay.
Well, we're running out of time. Thank you so much, guys. Love you guys. Have a great day today.
Love you. Have a great day, everybody.
You too, man.
Okay, Bishop. Thank you for inviting us yesterday. We did have a good time.
You've been listening to The Michael Vantool Show, sponsored by Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Call 331-248-7120. Today's program was produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group. Experts in small business support services, call 248-516-8300 to start your business today. The Michael Vantool Show can be heard every Sunday morning at 7:30 on the Detroit Praise Network. Thank you for listening.